A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will call back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went up together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the word of the Lord as it is found in Matthew. "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone even gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the dead to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Who here has done an escape room? Yes, quite a few of you, yeah. For those of you who haven't, an escape room is a room in which you get locked voluntarily, together with some friends or colleagues, and you have to work out the clues to work out how you can get out of the room. And you've got like usually an hour to do it. I did one of these with some colleagues a number of years ago, and it went completely wrong. And we were stuck in there, and eventually after an hour, the people had to come and get us out and explain all the clues that we had missed. Fortunately, the only thing that we lost was our pride on that occasion. But what if the stakes were much higher? What if the stakes were life and death? And what if we couldn't work out how to get out? What if it was impossible? But what if there was one person who had worked it out and he offered to come in and take our place? Today we're going to look at the ultimate escape room, and we're going to do it through the lens of the story we heard from Clive from Genesis. That strange story, it may be even a shocking story, it's probably the strangest story in the whole Bible. But that story has a very powerful message for all of us. But we need to understand it, but there's a few clues we have, a few keys to unlock that message which I want to share with you. The first one, and maybe the most important, is that God hates child sacrifice. He says it time and time again in the Bible, he hates it, and he banned it when the law came along under Moses. So if he hates it, what's going on here? Is God a hypocrite, or is something else going on? The second key to understand is, well, whenever you want to understand something in the Bible, it's good to read around the topic. There's something that happened just before, a couple of chapters before this story, which is very important to understand this message. Two chapters before, there's a king who has a dream, and the dream is from God. And in the dream, God tells this king, Abraham is a prophet. Now, what is a prophet? A prophet is someone who God uses to communicate his message. And most prophets will do that with their words. They say what God wants the people to hear. But sometimes in the Bible, there are prophets who act out something, who show with their actions a message from God. And that's what Abraham is doing here. And Abraham didn't know entirely probably what God's message was, but he did know that God was up to something. Because at the start of the story, he says to his servants, we're going to go up and worship. And then what does he say? And we are going to come back. He didn't have to say that, but he knew God was up to something. And I think also Isaac had a good idea that God was up to something as well, because Isaac completely trusted God. He completely trusted his son. By the way, we don't know exactly how old Isaac was, but we think he was probably 20 to 30 years old. Abraham was 100 when he had him. So Abraham is a really old guy. If Isaac had wanted to overpower Abraham, he could have done. But he trusted God and he trusted Abraham. So one more thing we need to understand to unlock this message, and that is the roles that Abraham and Isaac say in this performance, in this message they're giving us. Because who is Abraham? Abraham is often called the father of many nations. So Abraham is representing God. And God is the father of many nations. You just need to look around the room to see that's true. God is the father of many nations. So if Abraham represents God, who does Isaac represent? Some people will say, well, Isaac is Abraham's son, so Isaac represents Jesus. But I think, to understand this message, I think Isaac actually represents someone else. I think Isaac represents us. Because if we've chosen to follow God, we are also God's children. So if that's the case, what is the message that God has for us? At the start of this story, we have the first message. God says to Abraham, take Isaac your son, whom you love so much. That's the first message that God gives us, that he loves us so much. He wants the absolute best for us. When Jesus was praying, he once said to, as he was praying to God, he thanked God that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. God is crazy about us. He wants the absolute best for us. So then, why was Abraham told to kill Isaac? Well, that goes back to the passage we read from Romans this morning. Did you notice in Romans it said right at the end, the wages of sin is death. God wanted to make clear that our natural path is towards death because of our sin. Now, what is sin? Sin is anything that we have done wrong that makes us fall short of God's perfection. So the wages of sin is death, so what we do will naturally result in death. Now, you might think, but I'm not that bad. You know, I'm okay. I have a story to share with you to illustrate this problem. There's a church in the United States. It was a big church, one of those mega churches. They've got not just one building, but multiple buildings across their campus. And they had a new building built for them. And the day came when the people who built it would transfer ownership to the church. And the people from the church got there very early, and they could see in different parts of the building minor cracks, minor problems. And so they brought these big spotlights in to highlight these problems. Then the contractor arrived who was going to hand it over, and he was shocked. He said, what are you doing? And he said, well, we want to show you a few things we want you to address. And he said, that's not the deal. And he took out the contract, and he read the contract where it said that he would address any problems that are visible under normal lighting conditions. And the point is, that might be how we want to look, God to look at us, under normal lighting conditions. You know, you compare us to general people on the street or prisoners, we might get around pretty okay. But that's not how we're being compared. We're being compared to the perfect source of life, light, God, who looks at everything we do. Every imperfection is visible to him. That's why it says, the wages of sin is death. That's the escape room that we are stuck in. So how can we get out? Whenever God tells us the bad news, he always includes a very powerful three-letter word, but. The wages of sin is death, but. The free gift of God is eternal life. So how does God provide an escape? When Abraham was talking to Isaac, they were going up to the place to do the sacrifice, and Isaac said, we got wood, we got fire, I think we're missing something. We need to have a sacrifice. And Abraham said, God will provide a sheep. And he did, because when the angel said, don't harm your son, Abraham looked up and he saw a completely innocent ram whose horns were caught in a tree. And so he took the ram and sacrificed the ram in place of Isaac. The ram was completely innocent. That was what God had provided. Now, to understand what's going on here, I need to explain something about my home country. I've brought something to see if you can work out which country it is. Here's a subtle clue. Anyone know where I come from? Where? So someone say Germany? No. Not very good. Not just Britain, Great Britain. Great Britain, very important. Now, in Great Britain, as you can imagine, we do everything almost perfect. But on occasion, we do something a little bit weird. And I want to share one of the weird things with you, because a few hundred years ago, when the royalty, the kings and queens, would want their children to be educated, the prince often, it was usually the boys, the prince, they would send them off to a private tutor, and the tutor would educate them. But occasionally, if you can believe this, occasionally the prince would be naughty. I know it's hard to believe that a British prince could ever do something bad, but that could actually happen on occasion. Now, in that case, what would the tutor do? Because he was a commoner, he wasn't allowed to punish royalty. Well, here they introduced the weird part. They had somebody, a boy, who was called the whipping boy. At least that's what the story goes. And you can hear from the name, we're not talking timeouts or naughty mats. This is a lot more serious, cane or whipping. So the prince would not be harmed. This innocent would be instead. So the tutor could execute his punishment on this total innocent. God has provided, oh, we're done with this. God has provided a substitute for us, a complete innocent. When Abraham said, God will provide a lamb, I don't think he was just talking about at that moment. God also provided a lamb, which you can see behind me on that picture, which symbolizes Jesus, the Lamb of God. God has provided a lamb for us. Here's how Isaiah the prophet put it. He says, he, that's Jesus, was pierced. Remember, he was put on the cross. The nails went into his hand. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins, for the things that we had done wrong. He was beaten. The soldiers beat him so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus became our sacrificial sheep, our whipping boy. He voluntarily died in our place. That's what Abraham and Isaac were acting out before us. That's why we have the cross prominent in the church, to remember Jesus' sacrifice. But the cross is empty. Now that's important, because in the story of Abraham and Isaac, the ram died, that was it. Jesus died. He was taken down from the cross. They put him in a grave. But the grave is empty, because death couldn't hold him. He escaped death, the ultimate escape room. But he didn't just escape it. He destroyed it and sin and all evil. He didn't just escape the escape room, he destroyed it on his way out. The image that I have is of an action hero at the end of a film, and he's escaped the enemy compound. And as he walked out, he casually tosses a grenade over his shoulder, it lands in the ammunition dump, and the whole place explodes. Jesus didn't just escape, he destroyed it. And he led us out as well. That's what the passage in Romans is about. The wages of sin is death. If we choose to try to make ourselves good enough for God, it will inevitably lead into death. But if we accept the free gift, completely free substitute, we too can have eternal life. But it is a choice. It's a choice before all of us. You know, Isaac, when he was being sacrificed, Abraham, the angel said, don't sacrifice him. Abraham looked up and saw a ram. He said to his son, don't worry, I'm going to substitute you for a ram. Isaac could have said, well, I'm here now. You might as well just finish it off. No, he didn't. He had a choice, and he accepted the substitute. So that's the choice before all of us. We are going to take 2 minutes by the clock just to spend time with God, and after that, the band will come up. In these 2 minutes, I want you just to reflect on the message and what it means for you. And I can imagine there might be two different types of people. Some of you have heard this message before, but sometimes when you hear it afresh, it comes and hits you again. If that's the case, just take your time to thank God for what he did. Or you might suddenly realize, wait a minute, this is free, and I've been trying to earn it. I've been trying to impress God. Then just accept that it's a free gift from God. And if you've heard this for the first time, then you might want to reflect on what does this mean for you? And you can even, if you want, take the time to say, yes, I accept this substitute. Jesus voluntarily took my place so I could escape. I accept this. If you want to do that, take the time to say that to God. And how you do that is up to you. The words are not important, but if you want a hint for the words, something that will help you, words you can use are thank you, sorry, and please. It's very simple. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to be my substitute, to help me escape death. Sorry for the things that I've done. And you might want to list a few things. God is really, really is happy to forgive. And not only forgive, the Bible even says he forgets. He doesn't think about them anymore. So thank you, sorry, and the final one is please. Please come and help me to follow you, follow your will. Thank you, sorry, and please. Let's take 2 minutes by the clock just to be in silence now.